Good evening. It's great to see everybody here tonight. I'm glad that you could all make it out here safely. I'm more than happy to be able to invite you here at Watermill tonight. Like Jason said, we usually have ours in February, so we changed it over to October. Kept our fingers crossed this year that won't snow in October. If you'll follow along with me tonight, we'll start by turning over to Exodus 33. Exodus 33. So a little background before we start reading. So we know that Moses, he'd just gone up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. But down below, of course, Aaron and the other Israelites, they mess up pretty bad and make a golden calf. Moses, he comes down, he's pretty mad, and he throws down the tablets and breaks them. It's kind of like me and Brian, my brother. Whenever we were little, we'd play Wii Sports all the time. And he was a lot better than I was. So he'd beat me 5 or 6 times in a row, and then I'd throw down the controller and it'd break. That's kind of what I picture here whenever I think of this. So Moses is pretty mad, and God's pretty mad, and God's really mad at the Israelites. He's been helping them out for a long time. He delivered them out of Egypt, he helped them cross the Red Sea, led them through the wilderness, all the time while providing them with manna. So God says, I'm done, I'm just gonna wipe them out. And Moses hears this, and he gets pretty upset, because he doesn't want to lose the people that he's been traveling with for forever. And then also, in Moses' mindset, he doesn't want God to kind of look down from the other nations. I mean, he leads them out of Israel, and then he just wipes them out. It's like that's kind of, Moses doesn't think that looked very good on God's part. So Moses starts praying. He starts praying to God, and he asks forgiveness on the people in verses 12 through 17, chapter 33. But while he's praying to God, he asks for something. He kind of requests God for something. So if you follow along with me, we'll start in verse 18 of chapter 33. Then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock, and it will come about while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the clefts of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, and my face shall not be seen. So the deal is kind of Moses, he's going to go back up there, and he can't see God's face because he can't handle it. So he's going to hide in the cleft of the rock, and he's going to get to kind of see God. So here we are. We're going to keep reading in 34, 1 through 8. It says, Now the Lord said to Moses, Cut out for yourself 2 stone tablets like the former ones. And I will write on the tablets the word that were on the former tablets which you shattered. So be ready by morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai, and present yourself there to me on top of the mountain. No man is to come with you, nor let any man be seen anywhere on the mountain. Even the flocks and the herds may not graze in front of that mountain. So he cut out 2 stone tablets like the former ones, and Moses rose up early in the morning, and went up to Mount Sinai, as the Lord commanded him, and he took 2 stone tablets in his hand. Then the Lord descended on the cloud, and stood there with him, as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord, God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the 3rd and 4th generations. That's a pretty big thing that Moses gets to see there, because I mean, he gets to physically see what God looks like. It actually says later in the chapter, it says that Moses, the skin of his face shone, so he's physically shining from getting to see God. That's crazy. That'd be an amazing thing to witness. But not only did Moses get to see God, but he gets to hear how God would describe who he is. Again, it says God, he describes himself as compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. He won't leave the guilty unpunished. I mean, these are the characteristics that make up a true and whole human person. I mean, that's how Jesus was. Jesus had these characteristics of him. These are the characteristics that make up God's identity. If you could, I want you to think of somebody in your life who has been an amazing example to you. It can be whoever you want to. It just, like, who you've modeled your life after, they've been a huge role model to you. I want you to think of them. And I want you to think of why they've been such a huge role model to you. When I personally think of my person, they're not such a role model to me because they're good looking or they're popular or they've got a lot of money. That's not why they're a role model to me. They're a role model to me because they've influenced my life in a positive way. And they've done this by making their identity in line with God's identity. And that's, in result, affected me. So when I think of them and I think of how I would describe them, it really lines up with how God describes himself here in chapter 34. We need to strive to do the same thing. We need to make our identity in line with God's identity. I feel like most of the time, for me at least, the thing that prevents this from happening is that I'll make my identity something here on earth. I won't line it up with God, but instead I'll make it something here on earth, which ends up clouding my relationship with God. If you could, Jesus has something kind of to say on this. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. I know Gabe already read part of this for us, but we're going to read a little bit more. Matthew 6, 25, and we'll read through verse 34. It says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink? What will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I really like that verse. In my Bible, it's titled The Cure for Anxiety. And I love that. It's a really comforting verse that I look to a lot. This was a huge one for me last year. Last year, on September 4th of last year, I had surgery on my knee to repair my ACL that I had torn. I had to miss my first year of high school basketball, and it's mainly because, I mean, the ACL recovery process, it's 8 to 12 months. So I personally tore my MCL, my MCL, my ACL, my lateral meniscus, and I stretched my AL low ligament. So I tore up kind of everything in my knee. So they had to, I doubt the surgeon was too happy about this, but he had to fix me up, and I was on crutches for about 2 months, and I went to therapy for 13 months. It was a long time. I love playing basketball. I put a lot of time in with it. It's something I love to do. I think I've been playing since I was like 4 years old, every winter, every season. So this was the first winter, this past winter, this was the first winter that I hadn't played basketball. I had to sit on the bench wearing a big old knee brace, showing off my scars. I watched my friends run up and down the basketball court. And never before had I gone through something so mentally, so physically, and spiritually difficult in my life. It was really hard. And I had tons of people that were willing to help me out, and I'm so thankful for that. But I was really frustrated that this happened to me. But I mean that makes sense. That was okay to be frustrated that I was missing this, but I was so irritated and I was so mad that it really started clouding up my spiritual life. It started clouding up my relationship with God. My life, it was so revolved around a sport that I had made it who I was. My identity wasn't in line with God's identity. It was in line with the success I had on the basketball court. It was so wrapped up in basketball and sports that God was my second priority. Sports were my first priority, and God was my second priority. And I knew I had to make a change because I wasn't feeling fulfilled at all. I've said this a lot tonight about striving to make our identities in line with God. And why should we do that? Why should we even do this? Well, that's kind of what we've been talking about in our Wednesday night classes lately, and that's where I got the idea for this sermon. And we've been looking at examples where God's description is shown, like in Exodus 34, where he describes himself. And it was a couple weeks ago we were in class, and we hit the idea of, how do you personally view the course of your life and value as a person? Do you find your personal value the amount of stuff that you have, or is your course of life dedicated to being successful? Well, Andy McFaulin, he was in class with us, and he made the point of, if you are always defining who you are or what your identity is based on what others are thinking about you, you will not ever be happy and you will not ever be fulfilled, because there is always somebody or something out there that's better. That really struck home for me, because I was doing that exact thing. I was letting something here on this earth define who I was, and I was letting the amount of success that I had in that thing defining who I am. So like Andy said, I wasn't happy because I was doing that. But Bill McFaulin, who's teaching the class, he added on Andy's point. He said, you can find that true happiness, you can find that fulfillment, if you set your priorities to be the characteristics of God. If you set your number one priority in life to be more like God, to be slow to anger, to be merciful, to be forgiving of others, then you can find that true fulfillment in life, which will cause for you to be happy. And that's the main point I'm trying to get to you guys tonight. If you strive just each and every day, make your identity in line with God's, then you'll find that true happiness, you'll find that true fulfillment that you're looking for. Luckily for me, I was able to have a wake-up call. I definitely did not think tearing my ACL was a wake-up call at the time. But I think God definitely turned it into one. He definitely made a really tough, a really negative obstacle in my life into a time in which I was able to grow spiritually, I was able to grow mentally, and I was able to overcome a lot. I've heard this before, and I'm definitely on board with it. God doesn't cause bad things to happen to you, but I do think that he'll take those bad things and he'll let you grow from them. I'm not telling you my ACL story to make you feel bad for me. I'm telling you what happens if you make your identity something here on earth, because you're left with that unfulfillment in life if that thing gets taken away. But if you strive to make your identity in line with God's, you don't let it become the things here on earth, and you'll find that true happiness. Thank you so much for following along with me tonight. Thank you again for worshiping with us here at Watermill. I hope you enjoy and follow along with me. I know I've loved talking to you guys. We'll offer an invitation now to any of our subjects while we stand and while we sing.